that red light on.
Welcome to Drink Beer, Think Beer, the podcast that gets the bottom of every pint. I'm John Hall, and this episode is kicking off a trio of shows that was recorded at the just-concluded Little Beers 4 Festival, hosted by Good Word Brewing and Duluth, Georgia. If you listen to this show regularly, you'll know that I have a great fondness for the fest and the people putting it on. This panel, which was presented live during the festival, features a trio of brewers all talking about the process, culture, and general greatness of low ABV ales and lagers. But first, please go visit allaboutbeer.com. There, you can find original articles, reviews, news, insights, and podcasts. You can listen to shows like Brewer to Brewer and the All About Beer podcast simply by searching All About Beer wherever you listen to shows. You can also follow All About Beer on Instagram, Threads, X, and Facebook at All About Beer. And if you want to keep up with all of the great smoked beer news and releases, and by the way, Little Beers had a ton of great Rauch beer, you should go check out This Week in Rauch Beer by searching the group on Facebook or follow at TW Rauch Beer on Threads, X, and Instagram. We also have glassware and apparel available for purchase on allaboutbeer.com/merch. And this show, as you well know, and all of the work we do, it's supported by you. You can please go visit patreon.com/allaboutbeer, and a few bucks goes a long way to help keep the content fresh and to fund writers, photographers, creators, and editors. Seriously, it's like $5 a month. And if you'd like to learn more about advertising on the show, please email info@allaboutbeer.com. Speaking of that, if you're headed to the Craft Brewers Conference or you're a brewer who wants to do more with ingredients, just give a listen to these messages from companies that support our mission of journalism and bringing you quality products. You can visit the Wonkas of Tea Beer at booth 2390. First Tea has teas and botanicals to create new colors, flavors, and textures to craft beer and hard teas. First Tea even has beer and cocktail recipes with popping boba. Step into pure imagination at booth 2390 at the Vegas CBC or email them at info@firsttea.com. That's FIRSDTEA.com. Also, Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud with premium grains from field to flavor. Their selections include base, specialty, and distiller malt varieties. Stop by their booth, number 2143, at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. There is a lot to love about low ABV beers, from the easy drinkability to the layered nuance to the way it invites camaraderie and can showcase a brewer's skill. This conversation features three brewers who like to keep things low with creativity and a nod towards history. My guests are Zach Adams. He's the founder and head brewer at Fox Farm Brewery in Salem, Connecticut. Started in 2017 together with his wife, Laura, Fox Farm resides on a 30-acre former dairy farm where the original barn houses the brewery's primary production facility and tasting room. Since opening, Fox Farm has developed a reputation for thoughtful variety with a particular emphasis on traditional European styles and mixed fermentation beers. Zach and Laura live just behind the brewery with their three children. John Branding is the co-founder of Wheatland Spring Farm and Brewery with his wife, Bonnie. John is the farmer and brewer at Wheatland Springs. In the tractor cab or on the brew deck, John works to advance their mission of strengthening nearby farms and developing their regional culture through truly local food and drink. Wheatland Spring is a half an hour from Dulles Airport and an hour from Washington, D.C. Beer garden, indoor spaces and historic barns, acres of barley, and a bed and breakfast cottage step away. It's worth a visit. And Todd Buera is the founder and brewer at Fonta Flora Brewery, which integrates the soul of agriculture with artisanship of Zymergy to create a menagerie of rustic and savory libations. With an emphasis on seasonal flora, Fonta Flora brings English tradition and Belgian inspiration to the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. The brewery utilizes local artists to help conceptualize the notion that fermentation is yet another medium for creating art. This uniquely artisan approach to a beer yields a sustainable product filled with culture from their community. Recorded live at Little Beers 4, here's our conversation.
What's the state of low ABV beer and the interest you have as a brewer but also the interest that you see from consumers, drinkers coming into your own tap rooms, or what your distributors are looking for. Yeah, Zach, you want to jump on it?
So I look at, you know, the panel you've assembled here, and there's some real common ground about our locations and the environment we're trying to cultivate.
All
of us are off the beaten path a little bit, if you will. I've been to John's spot just last summer, and those country roads are beautiful, but kind of take me back to, like, the old world, like Irish countryside, like roads that weren't built for two-way traffic of wide-body American vehicles. At our spot, we're like 20 minutes off of a pretty famously treacherous part of I-95. Winding back roads to come see us, looking at Whippoorwill Farm. I think some of this might sound familiar. So as a proprietor, that's kind of always top of mind, and it's kind of woven its way into how we kind of steer the environment. And then also, as you know, drinkers and fans of beer, I think we've all come into it through that lens as well. And we drone on constantly about traditional European drinking cultures and just wanting to bring some of that back to the States, thinking about how beer is consumed in Germany, a kind of a brunch hour Weissbier in between church and lunch, or you know, hitting the pubs early for a quick session, or the Czechs that are just there all day. You know, beer is just omnipresent, but safely consumed and kind of layered in with everyday life.
Yeah. John or Todd, what do you guys think?
Yeah. Excuse me. Same, you know, Zach was saying, for us, especially, you know, I think the rural location of our, you know, brewery and, you know, a tasting room is a pretty big driving component for low ABV beers and the construction of them. And then, like, we're around a lot of mountain biking trails, a lot of, you know, just outdoor recreation, so mountain biking, running. So we already, like, cater to a really, like, active lifestyle crowd.
Yeah.
And so folks are really stoked to come in and see, like, 2, 3, 4, you know, so even, like, sub 5% beers, you know, on our menu, because it really kind of helps with that. You're not going to really think twice maybe about, like, you know, crushing, you know, 1 or 2, you know, 3% beers, and then even still maybe hitting the mountain bike trail, whereas maybe it's something you do before a ride or only, like, a post ride, and then you're crushing, like, an 8.5%, you know, like double IPA or something, you know, which we do have those as well. But so it kind of, like, represents, like, that, some responsibility from our rural location, what our customers, you know, trying to, like, what they're looking for. And then, you know, certainly just us as brewers really gravitating towards low ABV beers, just with that same kind of thing of just, like, just being able to drink for the flavor instead of, like, only for the alcohol.
Yeah. John, what about you? Yeah.
Yeah. So what I hear from Todd and Zach, we have a very similar experience. And I what I hear, at least, and what we see, is that the lower ABV beers foster more people coming together for that community, for that socialization that happens. And I think it fosters a more of an opportunity for people to come together for longer periods of time, to spend that time, to have those conversations. And that's how community's built.
Right.
Right? So it's taking the time to meet people, to understand people, to hear them, to speak your mind. And I think that's a beautiful thing when you can offer a public space for people to come to enjoy themselves. And maybe at that point the beer is just an excuse to come together, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I think the end result is people spending that time, and over days and weeks and months and years, that's how you foster and build communities.
Is it a tough sell in the craft space for lower ABV? Like, everything that you guys are saying about tradition or active lifestyle, all of these sort of, from my brain, hit in a certain way. Like, when I came up in beer, It was, you know, we learn about milds, we learn about ESPs, we learn about, you know, these nice little Czech lagers, we learn about these nice little pilsners, all these types of things. And then at some point in the last 10 years, it was, all right, now we're all going to have double IPAs that are Citra Mosaic that are 8, 9, 10%. Or we went through the, you know, the bourbon barrel aged wars, and it was, you know, can we get up to 15% or beyond? And there's a time and place for some of those beers, but that extreme nature sort of knocked out a lot of the lower ABV beers. And if somebody's walking in and they're saying, all right, like it's $5 a pint, it's $10 a pint, whatever, and I'm not asking you guys to talk about price, but there are people who look at ABV and they're like, well, that's money that I could get for the same amount and double the ABV and go from there. And then these beers start to atrophy a little bit. Is that, how do you combat that? If that's accurate, if that premise is accurate.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the overwhelming majority of consumers still today, beer is industrial white lager, right?
Sure.
So then that kind of takes the rest of us and makes us this, you know, at least I think, you know, going back the past 5-10 years, perception of intense and kind of an unknown. And I do think it is kind of a sell to fight against that kind of trend of like, all right, that stuff's intense. The beer I'm used to is simple and known. Maybe the unknown will always be kind of there as we embrace variety, but I think what we're, you know, doing as breweries and we're all here for today is to kind of fight through that intensity, that noisiness that, you know, extreme beer kind of created.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of a sell there, but as we kind of cultivate our communities, I think we're kind of almost insulated in a way. Where we were talking before about the trends of like 19.2,
sure,
you know, 8, 9, 10% beers sold for people to grab on the go and drink on the ride home. Like, that is so foreign to us. And in fact, we do make double IPA, probably, you know, one for every like 6 or 7 more sessionable hop forward, you know, counterpart.
Yeah.
Those beers are doing comparatively worse than they've ever done before in our own little bubble that we've created. So. Okay. Where there's a divergence there. I think there's like little pockets of, you know, different trends going on.
Yeah, sure, jump in.
The way I look at the question you asked, John, the premise of it was, I see a lot of the higher ABVs and the how you described it, the barrel age wars, those are proxies for value, right?
Sure,
from a
yeah.
consumer's perspective. And so I think the onus is on us to demonstrate additional value in lower ABV beers somehow, whether that's ingredients or methods or intention or all of those things. But I think that's up to us to become effective storytellers, to explain what it is we're doing, all the extra care and attention that we put into this stuff, why that matters, why time is actually really expensive in a tank.
Sure.
So I think it's a similar idea. I think it's demonstrating value. And I think it just becomes a different conversation versus ABV or adjuncts, and it turns into something else, whether it's finesse in a tank or barrel aging or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think somewhere, you know, what both y'all said is where I'm at with it as well. I think it is in the tap room. I think it represents a little bit of, you know, folks see ABV and assign it to value. But then at the same time, it's weird, you know, certain styles are I think the ones, depending on what it is, calls for maybe it should be higher or not. I don't think nobody is going around expecting or wanting an 8% pilsner. So by nature, like,
right.
you know, a pilsner for what it is, and it being like our, you know, Nebo Pilsner is our top beer that we sell at all tasting rooms almost every weekend, you know, so whether it's low ABV or people obviously light lagers, so like, you know, those are dissecting why that's the top seller is probably part of it, but then even our flagship Hazy Pale Ale is 5.2%, and we make and sell, you know, a ton of that. So I think once you're really, for us, I think getting sub three and a half even,
sure,
that's the part where it becomes a more difficult sell, because we are really, if we're going to charge for a 2.8% beer, the same that we're going to charge for a 5% beer.
But you brought up, Todd, before the words active lifestyle, right? And when you watch the Super Bowl commercials for beer, it's all about low calorie, low carb, and they're hitting that, but it's for this flavorless, near flavorless lager that doesn't have much of anything to it except maybe hydration and the social aspect of beer. And I wonder, like, to what John was sort of talking about before, of like the ingredients and the process and all of that, if there's a story that can be told about lower ABV beers for that active lifestyle, where it's like, here's some beers with personality, here's some beers with soul to them, with historical context to them, which history doesn't sell, right? I mean, you know, Ron Pattinson's made a nice career out of it, but aside from that, like, it's not really a thing. And so I'm wondering, though, if there's conversations that can be adjacent to that active lifestyle that seems to be fueling a certain percent of that market, Zach, that you were talking about before, about the majority of beer drinkers are these light lager people. How do you have this conversation about low ABV, active lifestyle, but in a mild, or in a, you know, a table beer, or in a,
I guess I'd go, you know, back to what John said earlier about education. You know, this morning, even for instance, when I went to the farm to get the brewery van to drive here, we were having a race so we host a variety of different races on our property. And this morning happened to be, I believe it was a half marathon and a marathon going on this weekend. And so there were just like tons of, you know, people running, you know, out at the farm this weekend. And then so like, you know, trying to take advantage of those communities when we have them already, you know, at our property as well. So then that is a for instance. And then we host mountain bike races all the time out at the farm.
Yeah.
And we often try to do collaboration beers with the host. And so really just trying to like dial that in with that community. And you mentioned mild, and we actually did a collab, a dark mild, for the cyclists. And so it's like, I can guarantee that was the first time, you know, many of those mountain bikers were consuming, you know, a dark mild.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is really cool.
I mean, it's kind of an oversimplification, but there's some earnestness here. Like, it's a funny coincidence, Todd. We just had our town's 5K run by our farm this morning, kind of held us up from opening like 10 minutes late. And what I would say to those people is like, you just ran a 5K. Like, have whatever you want. You don't need to have a Mick Ultra. Like, you can have anything.
But they've marketed to them, and Athletic has done it with their NAs as well in this. You know, this is what you need afterwards.
Yeah. But I know for me, like, I just took the family snowboarding this past week, and you burn a ton of calories doing that. And it's like, you get off the mountain, enjoy yourself, eat what you want, drink. And it's a little bit of an oversimplification, but we can't compete with those guys on, like, 99 calories, this and that. But let's be reasonable here. I mean, we're talking about plus or minus, you know, 150, 200 calories for something that's really enjoyable and satisfying and hopefully bringing you together with the folks who just like endured this arduous activity with.
Right. John, do you have thoughts on this?
I think these guys have covered it.
All right. So then let's sort of talk about low ABV beers. And what's amazing to me is 4 years in at this festival here in Duluth, Georgia, 80 plus breweries that are really excited about low ABV. And that it's crowded here. It's more crowded than it was last year. People are walking around, they're having a good time. And what I loved last year is at the end of it, you go to some festivals where they're serving you those 14% whatevers, everybody's passed out at the end of it. You know, you still feel good at the end of the day at this festival, like, because it's about the community, it's about the flavor. So John, is when you're thinking about building out lower ABV beers to make, and thinking about the ingredients and thinking about the flavors that you want to get out, where do you start in the process? You know, and you can use a beer as an example if you want to, but like, where do you typically start as a process when you're going to make a new to you low ABV beer to get it from start to finish?
For sure. So I think there's a natural tendency and a temptation to start to drill down on the brewing side, because I think that's where we have the most control in the process. But what I've tried to do for the last years now is actually zoom out. Because if you think about beer as an agricultural product, yeah. It starts in the soil and it ends in the glass.
Right.
And if the way I look at it is you have some control in the brew house, but most of that flavor is in the barley before it gets to us. So it's from the maltster, it's from the farmer, and it's even from the breeder, all the different qualities that go into that. And so I think we're at a really interesting time right now where we have access to a lot of different raw materials that we didn't have access to in the last 10, certainly 20 years. And so those kind of building relationships with craft maltsters and understanding all the different opportunities there to finesse those flavors and pull some of these levers before they even enter the brew house, and then you even have a different opportunity. You have these other vectors to play with for flavor and direction of the beer. And then we're fortunate, I guess we're saddled and fortunate that I'm on the tractor, because then we can choose the types of barley we put in the ground.
Right.
And they perform differently, and there's different ways of developing those. But there's places out there, I know there's some breweries who have partnered with farms, and they share the risk with them to grow certain types of barley for them. It's similar to how folks might invest in some different types of experimental hops to grow them. They sponsor them, in effect,
right,
on the barley side as well. So to me, there's opportunities there that I think craft beer, artisanal beer, has this opportunity in 2024 that just didn't exist previously. So for me, I try to look back and see from a larger perspective what can be controlled before it even comes into the brew house. And then I honestly do my best to stay out of the way as much as possible. So the idea is, if you have really high quality ingredients coming in, guide them along and put on some guardrails and massage the process. But this is not about heavy-handed willing Mother Nature to what you like. This is more taking the time up front to make sure you have the best coming in. You have a much better shot of getting the best coming out.
Zach, same question to you, though. When you're thinking about building out a low ABV beer, where do you start? Or does ABV come later?
Oftentimes, just stylistically, it ends the conversation almost immediately. Other times, it's kind of a creative decision as you go. We brew a lot of variety, lager beer, mixed culture, farmhouse ale, spontaneous beer, English ale. So each one of those, and even within them, you're going to have different kind of challenges and things you're going to want to express. But I think one overarching thing across them all is, you know, something's lost when you're going below 5, below 4.5, and certainly below, you know, 4%. You know, alcohol does play a role beyond just being an intoxicant. Like,
sure.
There's sweetness, there's heft there. And we almost always have that kind of enter the conversation very early on, is what are we going to do to kind of build back some of that texture, that body. And it can come in many different ways, or maybe not at all. Maybe you're going to lean into it and let this be as pale and dry as you can get. But that is always something that's early, you know, a consideration. But to John's point, you have these kind of contradictory things where it's like, I'm trying to make up for what's lost, but I need to show restraint because these beers require a gentle hand. You know, in personal experience, I think about our best bitter.
Yeah.
That should be a hoppy beer. English hops.
Yeah.
When overdone, are very unpleasant, very fast. So it's like, how do I push that? And that was over
the record. Everybody else is nodding on the panel.
Yeah, and vice beer. You know, our vice beer is pretty sessionable, and you know, having a really expressive fermentation, but not having it overexpress itself, particularly like, you know, that rotten banana thing. You know, how do we, you know, move the needle, but show restraint? It's all about finesse, as John said.
Todd, you've been nodding along this whole time.
Yeah, to the music behind us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like totally in beat too.
There's no music here.
No, everything they said, yeah.
I mean, that's hurtful to these guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they're pouring out their hearts and souls over here, and you're just rocking out to Noah Kahan covers. Right. Well done. Yeah. But no, I mean, how do you approach when you're going to do a low ABV beer? Where does your thought process and then the creativity take you?
Yeah, I mean, I think John and Zach, I'm going to say a combo of, you know, what they both said. You know, ingredients are obviously hugely important to, you know, what what drives us as a brewery, and always will. Stylistically is, you know, certainly the sort of the angle next. You know, I mean, we for a long time, you know, sort of tried to popularize a kvass. Sounds just sort of wrong to say, but we've certainly tried over the years. You know, we've been making a like kvass hybrid, you know, since like 2015.
Yeah,
it was the first time I brewed, you know, the idea of taking a, you know, a stale bread product of any kind, but then like throwing in some, you know, also more traditional to us brewing methods, you know, to have what ends up being like, you know, a sub 3%, you know, mixed fermentation, you know, super attenuated, really dry, effervescent, you know, often bottle and keg, you know, package condition, you know, and so that drinks, you know, kind of more, I always tell people it drinks a little bit more like a kombucha, to be honest. And, you know, so it's really just trying to like, when approaching how to create these beers, it super depends on what it is we're trying to do. And, you know, even then on the flip side of that, we've been making a little stout for years that we kind of modeled after the idea of an adult iced mocha. And it's a 2.8% stout that is relies heavily on specialty grains, to where the base malt is sub 50% of that recipe. So we end up after fermentation and then building back with, you know, interesting tools like maltodextrin or like glycerin as an example.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like seeing what else is out there to be like, now I just sound like Matt Tarpey from The Veil or something talking about maltodextrin and, you know, stuff like that. But it's like the end result was to end up with a, you know, a sweeter, really low ABV stout, you know, that was going to still be, you know, it really depends on the drinker. There's low ABV, still a lot of calories in that specific beer.
Yeah. But so you bring up this interesting point, and I've been trying to think about the culture of low ABV and the idea that some of us have, and I might be being too precious about this, but that some of us have about Belgian beer drinking customs, you know, at a cafe, at the table beer, or an English pub, or, you know, just like a nice day drinking session or a nice easy afternoon on a beautiful day like this, sitting outside having a couple of beers and then not having to be in bed by 6 o'clock kind of thing. There's a nice cultural aspect to it. And when you're talking about having like a latte and like trying to talk to people that way, it's the same thing with coffee shops, right? I mean, people aren't necessarily going for the caffeine. I mean, maybe they are, but like they're there to socialize. They're there for camaraderie.
I think that's a great point.
Yeah. And so with where the craft industry is right now, and it's by all accounts not doing great, and you know, numbers wise and everything, but is there a case to be made for trying to bring back that culture of just coming in for a couple of pints and then leaving on your own steam afterwards? You know, like we have these romantic visions of what pubs were in the past or what they can be going forward. And then under the setting here right now, where there's 80 plus breweries that have all brought sub 5% beers, is there a case to be made for that sort of education of, you know, relax a little bit, you know, taste the flavors, let it meld into the background? I don't have like a full question on this, except like everybody's nodding along either because you all want to go get a beer or because you think like I'm onto something.
You're making us all thirsty.
Yeah. That's a jump ball. I don't know. Is there a case to be made for trying to help people slow down a little bit and appreciate or just experience beer culture, bar culture through ABV?
I'll run with that.
All right.
Start. I mean, I think maybe there's a pathway where things kind of coalesce, but you have almost 80 breweries here.
Yeah, 84, I think, is the number Todd told me yesterday.
Scattered around the country, all kind of approaching this from their own really unique lens, right? Todd talking about brewing kvass-inspired beer, you know, sub 3%. That is incredibly unique. Probably yeah. nobody else here doing that. We all have to kind of like find our own path, and then, you know, to bring it back to the discussion about community. It's doing the hard work of like winning people over one customer at a time, one little group of people, group of visitors at a time, and kind of fostering a community around your brewery and what you think that should look like. But I think, yeah, if you talk to everyone here and you look at the beers they're pouring, we're all going about it a little differently.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a broader movement, but if not, you have a thriving enough movement to support something like this.
Yeah. John, you were nodding along.
Yeah, I agree with Zach. And I think something that I've observed, I have no data to support this, but just as I've seen this and kind of felt it, over the last 5 years or so, there's been people have been, you know, drinking more at home, or they've not been going out to places as much. And I think part of that habit of culture has been lost. And so I think in our capacity, we see it as part of our role to reintroduce people to that culture, that social aspect of having a beer. And I think part of having the low ABVs there creates the right set of circumstances in the environment for people to come together and do that sort of thing. But it's also kind of, a lot of people have gotten in the habit who pick up a four pack and take it home and have it on the sofa or yeah. have it on the kitchen table or whatever it is. And so I think it's getting people back to that social aspect of having a drink together.
Yeah, because it kind of goes to, so we were talking about 19.2s before we went on and the high ABV on that. And if you're just drinking at home and it's a 10% thing and you just want it to take the edge off the day, like I get it. You know, drinking a six pack of English Mild, you're talking about the calories, but also you're just going to kind of get full, and it's not the same experience. I feel like low ABV demands community, or deserves community, deserves fellowship, deserves.
It definitely creates the I think a better opportunity for that to
sure,
happen.
Sure, yeah, but yeah, Todd.
Well, I mean, I agree with. I feel the same way y'all just outlined, and you know, I think. For me, it's also, you know, needing to look at this country in a way and how we approach and how we always have approached alcohol and the culture surrounding alcohol. It's still, even to this day, doesn't feel like a totally, like, I don't think it's like a taboo kind of thing, but I assume we've all spent time in Europe before, and you know, if you're drinking in, you know, in Belgium or Germany, or like the culture is just wildly different, and it almost still feels like something that's sort of still like hiding in plain sight in America. So it's like people almost like I wonder if they're like, I need to drink this like 10% beer because like prohibition might be right around the corner again or something. You know, so it's just like we don't approach low ABV beer and because our culture just isn't the same as these other places where like a true low ABV culture exists. Like, I just think this country still has a lot of catching up to do for us to treat alcohol the same way that it's being treated in other countries.
I like that. All right, being mindful of all of your guys' time and to get back out to your booths and to drink as well. I would normally ask the Green Door question, but I want to change it up a little bit. We're here at Little Beer 4, 80-plus breweries, as we were talking about. What is a brewery tent that you know is here that you want to go and have a beer at? And it can't be somebody who's up here. Like, you can't all just, like,
that's what I was gonna
you know,
say.
Try to stroke your, oh, I really want to go to
I'm looking
thing.
Around yeah. right now. You're
Yeah.
Am I bad to say that I unfortunately didn't even really like fully look through the list to see who was going to be here?
No, that's fine. That's Goodwood. You want to go drink Goodwood beer?
I 100% want to drink Goodwood beer.
Yeah. John, do you have a brewery that you're excited about seeing? As I like that all three of you are trying to scan the tents to look at the tackers hanging up here. Well,
John,
you all have friends here. You all know folks who are here.
But John, it's an unfair question. This is an embarrassment of riches.
It is.
I mean, how can you choose just one, right?
I like it. Hey, Zach, do you have a cop-out answer too?
I don't mean to throw these guys under the bus. I'll give you a real answer.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Chuckanut.
Chuckanut.
I don't think I've ever had their beer, and a lot of admiration for the folks that paved the way for us to make lager and have it be well received.
So. Will and Mari Kemper are they're wonderful. They're great, and it's cool that they're here for that. I like that. Zach, John, Todd, thanks for doing this. Thanks for hanging out here at Little Beers 4 and sharing some thoughts on low ABV beers. And I hope we can continue this conversation down the line.
Yeah, thanks for setting this up.
Thank you, John.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Cheers. All right.
A quick programming note. Little Beer 5 will be held on Saturday, April 19th, 2025 in Duluth, Georgia. Get it on your calendar and as part of your travel plans for next year. And our thanks to Todd DiMatteo of Goodword and the City of Duluth for the hospitality and the ability to record this episode. Next week, it's a conversation about cask ales, moderated by my colleague, Andy Crouch. In the meantime, go to allaboutbeer.com. There, if you're headed to the Craft Brewers Conference or just a fan of Vegas in general, you can read Dan Pixley's list of recommendations of breweries, bars, and more in Sin City. And if you're going to Vegas next week for the Craft Brewers Conference, please join M. Souter of Pints and Panels and the All About Beer podcast as she does a pop-up shop of her prints and merch. That's happening on Monday, April 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. all times local. Also, thanks to the companies that support our work that will also be at the Craft Brewers Conference. You can visit the Wonkas of Tea Beer at booth 2390. First Tea has teas and botanicals to create new colors, flavors, and textures to craft beer and hard teas. First Tea even has beer and cocktail recipes with popping boba. Step into pure imagination at booth 2390 at the Vegas CBC or email them at info@firstte.com. That's FIRSDTEA.com. Also, Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud with premium grains from field to flavor. Their selections include base, specialty, and distiller malt varieties. Stop by their booth at number 2143 at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. In the meantime, if you need to reach me, you can get at me at johnhall@allaboutbeer.com. That's J-O-H-N-H-O-L-L. You can also get in touch with questions, comments, guest suggestions, and more. Go to allaboutbeer.com where you can visit the podcast page, the merch page, read great new content, as well as our archives going all the way back to 1979. Follow All About Beer on social media at All About Beer. And if you're interested in supporting journalism in the beer space like what we're doing, you can either email us at info@allaboutbeer.com or go to patreon.com/allaboutbeer. One more time, the All About Beer podcast, you can find that by searching All About Beer on your podcast platform of choice. Then I'll also bring up the Brewer to Brewer podcast. Steal This Beer has podcasts every Monday, and the BYO Nano podcast comes out on the 15th of every month. And don't forget, go check out probrewer.com each week for original articles from the All About Beer team. As for this show, Nate Schweber does the music, Jeff Quinn designed our logo, and I'm John Hall. New episodes release every Wednesday, and that's when I'll be back again to drink beer and to think beer.